It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
Ringo got a song on every one of the albums.
And Chad P.
What happened in 1969 where everybody was in one place?
Woodstock!
Woodstock.
Class is in.
Rock School, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Joe Burns, and sitting to my immediate right is...
Chad P.
Chad, you look good today. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm doing great.
We are starting part two, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
Part two of What Do the Lyrics to American Pie Mean?
Yeah, I think we're midway through verse three.
First three, right. We got
seven
part
verses?
Six verses.
Oh, six, okay.
Six verses. So that means we have three, four, five, and six to go. Four verses. That means I got about 15 minutes per verse to do this. We are not going to go backwards at all. If you missed part one, I made a real point of saying to the webmaster of the Rock School website, make sure part one is up and running by the time we start part two.
And here we are.
And the webmaster will call him Matt?
Matt,
yeah. Matt said they would be up and running. So if you haven't heard part one,
go to the website.
It is kslu.org.
Mm-hmm.
On the right hand side, you will see a little chalkboard that says Rock School. Click on it, and there you'll see episodes.
Yep.
Go ahead and click on it, and you will see it. Are you ready to go?
Yep.
We have gotten through the first two verses, and we will do the beginning of the third verse again.
Okay.
Now, for 10 years, we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone,
right.
But that's not how it used to be. It's probably 1969, because
yep.
as I said, Don McLean makes a point of stating in the first line of the verse what year we are in.
Yep.
10 years we've been on our own. That's mm-hmm. 10 years past 1959. That'd be 1969. Moss grows fat on a rolling stone. I've already stated that's probably Brian Jones, the
yep.
dead member of the Rolling Stones,
Correct.
Died of drugs.
Yep.
He states, but that's not how it used to be because
everything's changing.
That's right.
It's
and his
not
heroes.
Squeaky, clean music
right,
like it used
yeah,
to be.
His heroes don't dope themselves to death.
Correct.
When the jester sang for the king and queen, who's the jester?
Bob Dylan.
It's Bob Dylan. And we know this because Bob Dylan was a funny guy. He was a jokester. But furthermore, in an interview with Casey Kasem in 1971, Don McLean admitted that the jester was
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. There you go. In a coat he borrowed from James Dean. On the front of the album, the freewheeling Bob Dylan, he's wearing the same coat
yep.
that James Dean is wearing inside of Rebel Without a Cause.
Got that.
Now we move along. While the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown. Who's the king? I think this one's fairly straightforward as well.
Is it Elvis?
I think it is.
He's looking down. He's in heaven.
Elvis is not quite dead yet. It's 1969.
Not dead? Oh, okay.
While the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown. Now, why is the king wearing a thorny crown? Well, at this point in time, I think he's stating this because the king is really being martyred.
Mm-hmm.
He's off making really cruddy movies,
uh-huh.
and he's doing bad Vegas shows,
mm-hmm.
and he's being this martyr. He's seeing himself as this, he's the last run
mm-hmm.
of the old school, and he doesn't have the same oomph anymore.
So maybe he could be doing, sorry to cut you off,
yeah.
maybe a religious-like metaphor.
Could be.
A crown of thorns, the
could
king.
Be.
With the crown of thorns?
Could be. And when Dylan takes his crown of thorns,
mm-hmm.
he basically takes the spotlight as the new king of rock and roll.
Okay.
That's what I think those lines mean.
Makes sense.
The courtroom was adjourned. No verdict was returned. I think we're still in 1969. When he says the courtroom was adjourned, no verdict was returned, I think he's talking about two elements of the time.
Mm-hmm.
The courtroom was adjourned. I think he means the Warren Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And no verdict was returned. I think he means the Chicago 7. This
okay.
was the 1969 when the indictments were all given down to the Chicago 7 for rioting at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago.
Yeah.
All of their indictments were overturned.
Wow.
I think that's what he's talking about. At least
okay.
in my mind, that's what he's talking about. Now, the next line. While Lennon read a book on Marx. Now, the world thinks he means John Lennon. I don't think so.
Who is it?
I think it's Lennon as in L-E-N-I-N.
Who's that?
I think as in Lenin, as in the Russian Lenin.
Oh,
as in Vladimir Lenin.
Vladimir.
Lenin reads a book on Marx suggesting the rise of communism in Soviet Russia, a quartet practiced in the park. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's got to mean the Beatles. I don't believe so. And the reason I don't believe so is because in the next verse, the Beatles are so well and blatantly talked about. So why do I think that it's Lenin, as in Vladimir Lenin, reading a book on Marx? Because the quartet who practices in the park, I believe, is the Weavers.
Okay.
Now, who are the Weavers? The Weavers are a group of folk singers, and Lee Hayes and another guy, Pete Seeger, were part of them. And Lee Hayes and Pete Seeger, under the McCarthy era, were blacklisted as communists.
Really?
So that would make sense. If Lenin read a book on Marx, that would mean the rise of communism in Soviet Russia. The quartet practiced in the park.
Because they were blacklisted.
That would mean, right, the quartet being the quartet of the Weavers, that would be Lee Hayes, Pete Seeger, and also Pete Seeger was also a member of the Communist Party of the United States of America. And I'll come back and tell you what the last one means. Let's hear Pete Seeger.
Okay.
This is his version. A lot of people think Turn, Turn, Turn was by the Byrds alone. It's a Pete Seeger tune. So here is Pete Seeger. If you wonder who this guy is, this is Turn, Turn, Turn on Rock School as we talk about what do the lyrics of American Pie mean.
To everything, turn, 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 there is a season. Turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh.
That's Pete Seeger.
There you are. Very nice.
See, the thing about it is you're gonna hear much more in this song. And in fact, during the last verse, Don McLean was a large fan of folk singers.
Okay.
You can already hear how much he adores the jester, Bob Dylan.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a fan of folk singers, and he was a fan of the fact that he believed that folk singers could make change. He didn't like a lot of the acid rock. He didn't like the heavy rock. He believed folk singers could make change. That's why he liked the Weavers. That's why he liked Pete Seeger.
But he was also a fan of Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper also.
A time when it was pure.
Well,
a
yeah,
time
yeah,
when
yeah,
it
true.
Was lovely. Let me back up. And while Lenin read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the dark.
Okay.
A quartet practiced in the park. And we sang dirges in the dark. What does that mean? It's just an overt idea that these times have changed? I don't think so. There was an East Coast power blackout November 9th, 1965, and radio stations went to power backups, generators and such. I worked in radio long enough to be on the air during many power blackouts, and we had gasoline and diesel powered backup machines.
We've got one at this radio station right here.
You just go out, pull the, you know, you take the guy, you don't mind dying. You take him out there and he starts up the little gas, you know, engine.
Well, they don't work like that anymore.
We go on. Well, ours
now
did.
Now they're on a timer as soon as the lights go off.
Tell you what, it was scary when I was the one pulling it. Well, what happened was a lot of the radio stations in New York City began to play calm music. As a matter of fact, there's some really neat film of people standing around during the power outage, standing on corners, singing Christmas songs.
Oh.
Because they played calm music, attempting to keep people calm. And I think that's what he's talking about. And then, and we sang Dirges in the Dark the day the music died, and we were singing Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Okay, ready for verse four? Okay.
Verse four.
Helter skelter in a summer swelter.
Oh, that's pretty.
I don't think you can say it's anything but Charles Manson in the summer of 1969 leading his followers in the Tate-LaBianca murders. And contrary to popular belief, Manson actually never committed the murders.
No, he had everybody do it for him.
That's right. Everybody had it doing for him. And by the way, It was the Beatles song Helter Skelter from the 1968 White Album that Manson believed had the code words in it that told him it was time to invoke the race war he thought was coming that would leave him as the Jesus Christ on earth, believe it or don't. From 68, here's Helter Skelter, Beatles on Rock School.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Where I stop and I turn and I go for a ride. Till I get to the bottom and I see you again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But do you, don't you want me to love you?
I got blisters on my fingers. That make you a little nervous when it faded out there down to nothing?
What I
it's gonna
fainted.
Come back. Here it is. Here it comes. Listen. John Lennon.
These are
listen.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Joink. Oh, I love it.
You got blisters from fading out so much. That's not fun jokes.
The Beatles do that all the time. So there you go. Helter Skelter in a summer swelter. Obviously, it's Charles Manson. Once again, murders in the summer of 1969. The first line of the verse is telling us what year we are actually in.
This is true.
Helter Skelter in a summer swelter. The birds flew off to a fallout shelter 8 miles high and falling fast. Okay. Well, what do those two little lines mean? The birds flew off with a fallout shelter 8 miles high and falling fast. I think it's an obvious reference to the birds' song, 8 miles high.
Well,
but what does all the falling
sense.
Fast mean? Well, if you know the birds' song, 8 miles high, it's not a drug reference song. The song itself is a fear of flying that Roger McGuinn wrote about, but there's a couple little things in there. You have to know what the drug reference terms of the day meant.
Okay.
It's a reference to the bird song, so they're talking about the bird song. But when you talk about, at that point in time, 69, when you talk about going to a fallout shelter, you are talking about going to a drug rehab center.
Oh.
But also in 1969, this is a reference to the earlier verse where the rise of communism, the rise of nuclear weapons, and the rise of fear. 8 miles high, falling fast, is the concept of getting clean. So when he says the birds flew off to the fallout shelter, he's talking about the overt drug user, Crosby.
Crosby.
8 miles high, high as a kite, going to a fallout shelter in order to get clean, 8 miles high and falling fast. It's yet another drug reference to the concept of music has become nothing more than this drug-infested nothing. That's what those two mean, at least in my opinion. Here are the birds, 8 miles high on Rock School. Isn't Roger McGuinn wonderful?
He's very, very nice.
He is so sloppy. That's the best way I can put it. I feel the same way about Jimmy Page when he plays.
But it's a good sloppy.
Oh, yeah.
Sloppy
he's
good.
So sloppy that it's wonderful. He's not clean. He's not like listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan, where every note rings true. He's so sloppy, it's wonderful. We are only, believe it or not, 3 lines into verse 2. We're going to get...
Verse 4, huh?
Or, I'm sorry, you're right, verse 4.
Man, don't scare me.
We are going to wrap up verse 4 when we get back from this break. 1 minute, right here, Rock School.
Support for KSLU programming is made possible in part by Home Theater Etc. In addition to flat panel displays and digital surround sound setups, Home Theater Etc. also offers home theater furniture, such as entertainment centers, TV stands, home theater seating, and pop-up flat panel lifts. Home Theater Etc. is located on the corner of Morris and Mooney, across from Florida Parish's Bank. The telephone number is area code 985-340-7777.
Rock School, as we talk about the meaning to the lyrics of American Pie. We are in verse 4. We've only done 3 lines. I'm going to go all the way to the end of the verse before we play the next song, so I'll start again.
Okay.
Helter Skelter, in a summer swelter, the birds flew off to the fallout shelter, 8 miles high and falling fast. It landed foul on the grass. The players tried for a forward pass. Now, what does that mean? I don't know that that has any specific meaning, but what it does is it gets him into the next little section, which is all about sports euphemisms.
Yeah,
he's going
like
to use that a bit.
Football stuff, foul.
Sure. Right. He's going to actually use
landed foul like baseball.
Right, marching bands. It's actually more football than it is baseball. So he's going to use halftime and things like that. I don't know that that has anything more than a bit of a word bridge to get him somewhere else.
Yeah.
It landed foul on the grass. The players tried for a forward pass with the jester on the sideline in a cast. This one's also pretty easy. On July 29th, 1966, the jester, Bob Dylan, was in an almost fatal motorcycle accident, and he broke his leg.
All right. Did he have a particular team that he liked to go watch?
Actually, he didn't have one that he particularly liked, but apparently he hated Joe Namath.
Really? Yeah. You hate Joe Namath?
I don't know, but it was actually brought up when I was doing some research that he hated Joe Namath.
Wow.
And that some people actually thought that was a reference to the fact that Joe Namath was sidelined with injuries back in 1970. That makes sense, but that would put the time in the wrong place. That would be too late.
Maybe he was watching a Joe Namath game because he was rooting for the team they were playing
against. Could have been.
On the sideline.
Now, the halftime air was sweet perfume. Uh-huh. I think that's straightforward. That's a reference to drug use. Even when I was growing up, when you smelled marijuana in the air or something like that, we used to say, perfume. It was a nickname for drug
and
use.
And it would make sense because during a halftime show at a football game, what else are you going to do?
Apparently. While Sergeants played a marching tune. Remember when I said that there was going to be a reference to the Beatles a little later on?
This is
the reference.
Sergeant Pepper's.
Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. While the Sergeants played a marching tune, we all got up to dance, but we never got the chance because the players tried to take the field. The marching band refused to yield. My opinion is that the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's band had such total domination of the music industry that the concept, remember I said that Don McLean loved the concept of folk music such? The players got up to dance. The good, fun, yum, rock and roll tried to... didn't work. The players tried to take the field. The people who were the guitar and a microphone tried to take the field. The marching band refused to yield. If you weren't playing Beatles music at that point in time, or music that sounded like the Beatles, twin guitar, bass, 2 or 3 part harmony, you weren't getting recorded. I think that is what it means. He also might mean players, referring to fake groups like the Monkees and the Partridge Families, but I doubt it. I think what he's talking about is the concept of the Beatles basically ruled the world. And if you weren't doing Beatles music at that point in time, forget it.
Get out of the way.
Do you recall what was revealed the day the music died? We started singing. The do you recall what was revealed, I can interpret it 2 or 3 different ways, but what I think he's stating is, do you recall what was revealed? Music had become corporate. Do it this way or you're not getting recorded. There was no such thing as Buddy Holly put out a 45 and we'll give you a shot. It was either create an album or tough luck to you. Here are the Sergeants. This is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. We'll follow it up with a little help from my friends. Here are the ones that refused to yield. Beatles, you knew that, on Rock School.
Thank you.
go. Ringo got a song on every one of the albums. Nice, cute, short song. Cool. As we go through all of the lyrics of American Pie,
that's right. If you're just joining us, it's a twofer show. This is part two. If you want part one, just check out the website, kslu.org, and look for Rock School. Click on the episodes, and there it is, part one of the lyrics to American Pie.
Right, and we're going to try to get this show onto the website as quickly as possible. If you're interested in hearing them both back-to-back and as quickly as possible, we will get that up and running as soon as we possibly can.
All right.
Welcome to verse five. I have a half an hour left.
Wow.
That's 15 minutes per. I have a couple songs that go with this, so I'm going to move as quickly as I can and, of course, get all the information
opening
out.
Opening line is the timeline.
Always.
Right,
oh, there we were all in one place. Well, that's 1969. What happened in 1969 where everybody was in one place?
Summer of 69. Woodstock!
Woodstock. Here you go. This is Woodstock. Joni Mitchell wrote it. It was recorded, well, the hit, CSNY. 1970 was when it got out there. It's Woodstock on Rock School. CSNY, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Neil, Young, from 1970. That's Joni Mitchell's Woodstock as we go through all of the lyrics
I gotta
American
tell
Pie.
You, I mean, with all of these music concerts, Voodoo Fest, and Lollapalooza, and all these places, if I could pick one, only one, that I would be able to attend because I couldn't. For obvious reasons, I
wasn't born yet. You go back to Woodstock?
I'd do Woodstock 69 in a second.
It's not the one I'd go back to.
Which one would you do?
Altamont.
Yeah, come on.
I would. Oh, there we were, all in one place.
Yep.
We've already told you, I think, that means Woodstock, August 15th, 1969.
Mm-hmm.
A generation lost in space with no time left to start again. Well, it could mean the TV show, but probably not. It probably means the space race, the concept of we will go to the moon. Oops, the Russians put up Sputnik first.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It could also have a secondary suggestion with no time left to start again. You've also heard of people becoming, you know, you have a space head, you know, you're lost in space. It could also be a secondary suggestion of a generation who ignored all the folk singers and it's all coming home to roost. So come on, Jack, be nimble, Jack, be quick. I think this is Kennedy's averting of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Really?
And all of his stuff to avert nuclear war. And the reason I say that is because the next one says, Jack Flash sat on a candlestick.
Jumping Jack Flash?
No, I think that means actually Jack Kennedy sat on a candlestick. I think it means he sat on the nuclear weapons. He stopped them from taking off.
Wow,
I believe that's
meaning.
What it means. Or it could mean the moonshot. Candlestick could be the rocket.
Mm.
Could be. But I think those two lines go together. So come on, Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack Flash sat on a candlestick. He actually stopped the candlestick.
Yeah.
Because fire is the devil's only friend. I don't know that that line has any specific meaning. I think it just gets you to the next one. Now, the next little grouping of lines, we already know what it is because Don McLean has stated when he talked about the flames climbing higher into the night, he's talking about Altamont.
Okay.
And as I watched him on the stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan spell.
Okay.
And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight the day the music died. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Rolling Stones concert at the Altamont Motor Speedway back in, I think, 1969. The Altamont Motor Speedway was a nasty, nasty concert that the Rolling Stones set up. And what really went terrible on it was the fact that four people died.
From what?
Two of them died from a hit and run. Mm-hmm. One of them died because his car flipped over and he drowned inside of a drainage ditch. But the one most people know about is Meredith Hunter. A young man who was in close to the front of the stage, Meredith Hunter, was killed by the Hells Angels. The Hells Angels were hired basically to watch the generators that were used to power the amplifiers and such.
Yeah.
Meredith
Equipment
Hunter.
Guards.
Oh, yeah. Meredith Hunter was high on, they think, PCP. And Meredith Hunter pulled out a weapon in order to shoot at the stage. Mm-hmm. Whether he was trying to kill somebody in particular, nobody knows. But when he pulled out the weapon, the Hells Angels hit him with pool sticks and then stabbed him to death.
Wow.
In the documentary, the 1971, I think, documentary, Gimme Shelter, you see Mick Jagger performing. And while Meredith Hunter is being killed, Mick Jagger is laughing, which is what this what this line is actually saying.
Oh.
Now, don't go crazy, go, oh, horrible Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger didn't know this guy was dying. Mick Jagger didn't know this was happening. There is an urban myth that when Meredith Hunter was dying, they were playing the song Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah.
Untrue. Untrue.
Okay.
They were playing the song Under My Thumb.
Oh.
The name of the documentary is Gimme Shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play that. This is Gimme Shelter from the 1969 album Let It Bleed, Rape, Murder. It's Just a Shot Away. Title of the documentary, The Altamont Concert. By the way, the female that's playing or that's singing, mm-hmm. the female that's singing back and forth with Mick Jagger, her name's Mary Clayton. She's a New Orleans native.
Uh-huh.
And there's a rumor that she miscarried after singing her part on this song.
Is it true?
Don't know. Don't know. But it is true that that entire section is all about Mick Jagger and the Altamont Concert on Rock School. Kiss Away, Gimme Shelter. This is Rolling Stones on Rock School.
Good tune.
Have I piqued your interest to learn about Altamont, the concert of Altamont?
Yeah. Okay. Especially since you'd pick it over Woodstock 69. I want to hear what's so great about this.
I'll tell you the reason I picked it is because I now know a tremendous amount about it. I never tip the next week's show. I seldom do that because I really want the audience to tune in and go, oh, great. I don't want them to sort of hear the show and go, oh, I'd rather hear that. Or worse yet, go, oh, I don't want to hear that.
Right.
Next week, Altamont. I'm going to explain the entire Altamont concert. I've downloaded all of the set lists and such, and I'm going to tell you everything that happened with the Hells Angels all the way through the death of Meredith Hunter.
Cool.
One verse to go. What do the lyrics of American Pie mean? We'll be back in a minute.
Home Theater Etc., located on the corner of Morris and Mooney across from Florida Parish's Bank, supports programming on 90.9 KSLU. Home Theater Etc. offers several brands of outdoor speakers for outdoor functions, including Klipsch, JBL, Mirage, Yamo, and MTX. Home Theater Etc. also offers barbecue pits for purchase. The telephone number is area code 985-340-7777. Home Theater Etc., a proud supporter of programming on 90.9 FM KSLU.
This is Rock School. As we move along, what do the lyrics to American Pie mean? Last verse. Got about 12 minutes left in the show. We should come to an end nice and right on time.
Now, we've been talking about first verse timeline. Now, we explained that in the first show, but you basically said that the first line of every verse establishes a time period.
Right.
Okay.
This one doesn't.
Really?
It doesn't.
You
this is the last verse.
I would bring
verse.
Up a point and it doesn't apply.
Well, you didn't run it past me, man. Verse 6. This is the one where it all goes nice and slow, a little piano, you know, toodle-doo right beforehand. And Don McLean says, I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away.
Wow.
Well, who is a girl who sings the blues, yet no longer can speak and has no choice but to smile and turn away?
Who's that?
Janis Joplin died of a heroin overdose October 4th, 1970. So I guess in a roundabout way, you are right. He does set time, because if he's talking about Janis Joplin, we must be in 1969 or early 1970s. Now, we've played Janis Joplin two or three times on this show.
At least twice.
Why haven't we played Peace of My Heart, her, you know, milestone song? Simple. I've been waiting for this one.
Been saving it.
1968.
Now, he says, I asked her for some happy news. You don't think that it can be interpreted as he asked her to marry him?
I don't think so.
Happy news.
She just had no happy news. He just hates what's happened to music.
Yeah.
There is no happy news. Here's Janis Joplin on Rock School. Which is great. Janis Joplin, Take a Piece of My Heart from the Cheap Thrills LP. Cover art by R. Crumb, if you really want to get into having stuff in your head. There you go.
I have such a sense of satisfaction now, because every time I hear American Pie, you know, I'm not going to go broadcasting it, but I'll be able to sit there and think to myself, I know exactly what that song is all about.
Or at least you know what I think the song is about.
It makes sense,
so
I'll take it.
I hope I'm right. I
hope we'll accept any email from anyone that wants to think otherwise.
Sure.
Why not?
We haven't gotten to the line yet where people actually start to argue.
No.
The argument line is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
All right.
That's the argument line. So I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Janis Joplin.
Okay.
I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. Well, the sacred store, I think, is a music store where I'd heard the music years before. I remember this blatantly. I doubt you will. You used to be able to go into a record store, and if you wanted to hear a record, you went up and said, I want to hear the new record by so-and-so. He gave you a listening copy, and you went into a booth, and you put the record on, and you listened to it.
Ah.
Can you do that anymore?
Nah, I've never heard of it.
No, online, I guess you can hear a snippet, but I remember distinctly being able to go into a record store and listen.
Okay.
Can't do that anymore. And I think that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
The man behind the counter said, place is corporate now, pal. The man says the music won't play anymore. And in the streets, the children screamed. I think he's talking about that famous Time magazine photo of the napalmed children running.
Yeah, I know.
So I think what he's saying is the war is breaking out. We're in 1970.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yep.
The lovers cried and the poets dreamed. I think he's talking about the pictures of the wives of dead soldiers and the protesters beaten by National Guardsmen, mainly near Berkeley in the 1970s.
Yep.
But not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken. I think this is yet another comment that corporate music had put an end to protest and folk music.
Mm-hmm.
Those that did it were dead or silenced. You know, the church bells all were broken. Not a word was spoken. Something horrible is happening. Somebody speak up.
Nobody will.
Nobody will. Now, here's the line. And the three men I admired most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died. Who is, or who are, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost?
Could he be talking about the three guys that died in the plane crash?
Everybody goes for that, but where does it fit? Where does the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost go to? I understand Father and Son, Holly Valens.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
The Big Boppers, the Holy Ghost?
Lord, I hope not.
That's what I'm thinking. Well, how about Kennedy, Kennedy, King? Well, that makes sense. Martin Luther King, he's a reverend. He could be the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Father, Son, Kennedy, Kenny were brothers.
That's true.
King Kennedy Malcolm X.
Okay.
King was a father. Kennedy, you could be seen as the son of Malcolm X, the Holy Ghost, because Malcolm X gave up a violent, you know, a thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Chuck Berry, Ricky Nelson, Pat Boone.
Hmm.
Eh?
Hmm.
Pete Seeger, Bob Dylan, Buddy Holly. Where's the thing? I just don't think it's any of those.
Who's
I think it is?
Who is it?
I think it's the Crickets.
Who?
I think it's the Crickets. I think it's the backing band for Buddy Holly. And the reason I say that is because if it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, people who are dead, Why would they need to catch a train for the coast? Why would they need to get on a train? What would the purpose be? I think the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are Jerry Allison, Joe Muldeen, and Nikki Sullivan.
Okay.
Because the three of them, I wish it was more, oh my God, you're right. I think it's these three people, Jerry Allison, Joe B. Muldeen, and Nikki Sullivan. Okay. The three of them attempted to make a go of it. And they tried and they tried and they tried. The three men I admire most, that makes sense, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I don't understand what Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost go for. It may just very well be that it fit. Three men I admire most, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Get it?
Yeah, I do.
A little bit of artistic license, which by saying that, that throws every one of these groupings I just gave you back into play.
This is true.
So that's what I think it means. And that's the end of the whole thing. So next time you listen to American Pie, that's it. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
That's what we think it means. Class is dismissed.
Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. They were singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to